Right up there?
It's put it on. It's gone.
Other thing?
I started with this question just 3 weeks ago. My close friend of mine received a phone call from a friend of his who went to Shiva with 15 years, but hadn't been in touch in 15 years. And he wanted to share with my close friend a story that just happened right before camp this summer. You may have heard or read in the news that there was a van coming from Cleveland going to Camp Cayley. Along the way, the driver smelled some smoke. He was taking some of the kids. He smelled some smoke, and he quickly told everyone to exit the car. So they exited the car. He took a look at the van. Everything was okay. He invited them to come back in. They went a little further. He smelled it again. He said, quickly get out. And shortly, the car went up in flames. Everyone was fine. Everything was burnt up. All the fill-in, sparring, clothing. So the kids brought up the shroom over. Somehow they got, made their way to Camp Haley. And my friend's friend, who had called him, one of his sons was on his van. So he was, I think, in Boston in a business trip, and he quickly made it over to Camp Haley. He wanted to spend the next 2 days to see how the kids would be doing, adjust and overcome the trauma. So all the kids adjusted fine, except there was one kid who wasn't coming to terms with it. And wanted to go back home. He tried talking to him, wasn't opening up. So Rabbi Brazil, who runs the camp, said we're going to send our best counselor to talk to him. And this counselor is my close friend's younger brother. That's why he got the phone call. Going on well. So he took this young boy who was uncomfortable, wasn't adjusting well after this experience. He took him to Walmart, bought him some nice things, food, toys. And they broke the ice, and he finally sat down with the kid and said, so, what's wrong? I know it was probably pretty scary, a lot of trauma, but what's in the food? What's bothering you? So he said, I was the one who said to you, I said, Derek, this is my fault. So imagine the guilt that this boy is feeling. So that counselor quickly said, what do you mean? Imagine what would have happened had you not said to that. You saved all the kids. You saved everybody. This is what you're doing. And quickly he turned around. So when Ephraim responded back to Rebbe, remember who you sent us. He sent the Moshe Tzvi you sent us. And what a remarkable job he's been doing. He did it all morning, all day. He was very happy. So Rebbe sends his warmest love and he hopes to be back with all of us in Yerushalayim next year. And on behalf of the shul and Rebbe, we want to thank the Moshe Tzvin for all the inspiration, the stories, and for one last drasha.
It's been a big schuss to spend the moed with the Kiyuah. And Ritz Hashem, we should be zocha, like you said, to all be together next year in Yerushalayim. Everyone's felt in their life the feeling of an unfulfilled promise. Looking forward to something, you're anticipating something, there's a specific time, you're waiting for something. Maybe something petty, like a package in the mail, it could be something larger that you're looking forward to, a particular date in your life. And that feeling of anticipation as it's getting closer and closer, and that frustration that comes, when unfortunately that reality is not met. And there's a terrible heartbreak with that feeling of frustration. Sometimes you know it's going to come, but it's just not here yet. And I think that's probably the feeling that every Jew has at the end of Tisha B'Av every year. This is the drasha you hope not to give, because you don't need to give it, because you're already there. But once again, there's a feeling of an unfulfilled promise, the potential for geula, the potential for Mashiach, and the failure to make that a reality. Chazal, in the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Tzav Zayin, are very critical of a person who's mechashiv the kates. A person who says that Mashiach is coming by a particular date, the Gemara says, tipach atzvon shemechashiv kitzin. That the very essence, that the bones, that the essence of that person should rot, that their very machus should be overturned. And the Gemara gives an explanation. The Gemara says because that particular date comes and goes, and Mashiach doesn't come, there's this terrible feeling of frustration that if Mashiach didn't come, then Shuv Eino Ba is not going to come. And therefore, Chazal says so critically, Tipach Atzman Shemachash Vekitz. If you look in Maseches Derech Eretz, one of the Maseches Ketanos, Rabbi Yossi has an even sharper lashon. He says a person who's Mechashev Vekitz, Ein Lo Chelek Le'olam Haba. Ein Lo Chelek Le'olam Haba. And we understand why that's so, because there's such a heartbreak, there's such a terrible feeling that comes. After looking forward, there's a date, you're told on this date. All of your hope, all of your dreams depend on this particular date. You're looking forward to the arrival of Mashiach. And once again, you're let down. And therefore, the person who leads Klal Yisrael astray in that way, ain't no chelek olam haba. These are the Rambam Paskins, Rabban Hilchos Malachim, the Perek Yud-Bein's Paskins. Tipach Daitan, a little bit of a different nusach than the Gemara. But it's the same idea. Tipach Daitan, the mind of such an individual who leads people astray with his machshavos, his mind should also rot, his mind should be overturned. Everyone understands that feeling, that anticipation in the letter. Again, we've all experienced it with smaller things. I have a neighbor across the street who's doing construction on their house. So he stopped by the other day and I reminded him of the Maimar Chazal and the Maseches Sota that says, if you want to become poor, you should do construction on your house. He wasn't so excited about that. Anyone who's done construction knows it's true. It always costs more and it always takes longer than anticipated. So if the builder says you're going to be in by the end of the summer, and by the time school starts, your kids will be back in the home, and you'll be able to get back to work in a normal fashion, you'll be living by your in-laws, your parents, or your neighbors, or your friends. And then, of course, the end of the summer comes, and it's September, and it's October, and it's November, and there's still... And again, it's a minor frustration. I had a friend who was in a terrible accident a little over a year ago. Terrible, terrible leg injury. And Baruch Hashem, he's alive, first and foremost. He's coming along, he's able to somewhat be on his feet now. But there's such a frustration because it's 3 months, and then it's 6 months, and then it's 9 months. And you go through the therapy, and it's getting stronger, and it's getting stronger. But again, there's a little setback, and the wound's not healing properly. And you have to reset the bone. And every adult understands that things take time, and sometimes the plan changes. The schedule of events doesn't play out exactly. But there's such a broken feeling, that anticipation. And that frustration of time and time again being let down. What's so strange is that after Chazal tell us it's such a horrible thing to be mechashev v'keitz, and the Rambam himself paskins that way, how strange it is that tzaddikim throughout the generations were all offered as dates of the Gula. And the Rambam himself in his Igaras Tema says that if you want to know, I have a family tradition, a mystical family tradition, that in the year 1216 Mashiach is going to be here. The same Rambam who says that it's usur to do such a thing. How do you make sense of tzaddikim throughout the generations offering dates, particular dates, very specific dates, which Klal Yisrael look forward to. In the Margolius Hayam, Sefer Sanhedrin, Reuven Margolius, who was a Gon Olam, never blessed with children, his Yartzeit's actually coming up in a couple of weeks, a totally inconspicuous person, Talmud Chacham, Nifla, spent the last 35 years of his life as the librarian in the Rambam Library in Tel Aviv, wrote Svarim in every area of Torah, Nigla, Nister. So he's famous, most famous for Margolius Yam, Masechta Sanhedrin. So he writes in Daf Sadi Zayin that the tzaddikim throughout the generations, they didn't tell Klal Yisrael a particular date to the exclusion of other dates. The way that they presented themselves, listen, this is a date, I have a tradition. I look at the pasuk in the 12th parak of Daniel, a time, and 2 times, and half a time, and I make a cheshbon. But the tzaddikim never presented it in such a way that the Gemara says that Chas v'Shalom could lead to that heartbreak. The Gemara says, if you say it in such a way, that the response of people is going to be, if Mashiach doesn't come, Shuv Eino Ba, that's when it's such a terrible thing. But if you say it as a way to be mechazik by yourself, maybe it has a time, maybe it has a place. Today was the yahrzeit of the Chozeh Lublin. There's a sefer called the Avdi Zikaron. It's a collection of teachings from the Chozeh. And the Chozeh gave a different explanation, a little bit more alpimius haTorah, for why tzaddikim throughout the generations offered particular dates for the coming of Mashiach. The Chozeh says, everyone knows there's a halacha in Yardei and Siman Reish Mem, by the laws of Kibbut Avodah. If a child sees that a parent is not following the halacha, it would be rude, it would be inappropriate for a child to rebuke a parent to say openly, that's not the halacha. Rather, a child has to find the roundabout way to inform the parent that this is the halacha. For example, the child pulls out Shmir Shabbos to Chasa, and happens to open to a section on Borer, and then that child's parent happens to not know about, and offers Mom, Dad, can we sit, can we learn a few minutes? All of a sudden, they stumbled across this halacha that the family's never kept for the last who knows how many years. And then he begal to the parent, oh, look, it says, Hashem apparently wrote this Torah, this is the halacha, it's found in Shulchan Aruch, it's found in Mishabura, this is the halacha. Says the Chozer Lulud, Klal Yisrael have a tain on the Kadosh Baruch Hu. We feel that Hashem has not been following the halacha. We feel that Kadosh Baruch Hu owes us long ago the Gula Shrein. We can't say, but Pam Malde, Kadosh Baruch Hu, what you've done is wrong, it's an injustice. And therefore, the tzaddikim throughout the generation, says the Chozer, opened up the Chumash, they opened up the Torah, they opened up the Pesukim of Torah and Avim Aksumim, and found their Muslim in the Torah, as if to be around it, so Avinu Shema Shemaim, our Father in Heaven, it could be. Kach Chosuf B'Torah. This is what it says in your Torah. Maybe. A nice name of Chos for the tzaddikim throughout the generations. But again, it still leaves us feeling broken. Because at the end of the day, Mashiach hasn't come. And for all the times that all the tzaddikim petition their bonus home in a very respectful way, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is yet to respond. And that feeling of disappointment can literally kill a person. I'm sure many people have read at one point the work of Viktor Frankl, Man's Search for Meaning, his 1946 book. And he writes there on page 97 or about a shocking thing that he saw. He said he had a friend who was in the camps. This was 1945. He had a friend who was a well-known composer before the war, wrote operas. And he says that this fellow came to him, this was February 1945, and he says to his friend, he says to Viktor Frankl, I had this unbelievably vivid dream. And in my dream, a voice told me that we're going to be freed from our captivity on March 30th, 1945. And he saw that there was such a simcha, such an excitement, such a hope. His eye had a glimmer in it, that maybe this could be it, we could finally get out of this hell on earth. And Viktor Frankl writes, as that date got closer, he saw how his friend was becoming so uncomfortable in his own skin. He said on March 29th, his friend came down with a terribly high fever. On March 30th, on that date, he said he was unconscious. And on March 31st, his neshama left his soul. And Viktor Frankl writes, he says, look how a person's hope, look how a person's man's search for meaning, the whole book is about. How as long as you have something to live for, as long as you believe there's a possibility of something better that could come in the future, then a person could fight off that terrible typhus that this fellow was fighting off for all that time. But as that date rolled around, and that typhus disease overtook his body, Viktor Frankl says, superficially, it looked like he died from typhus. But those of us who understand the nature of the heart and the connection, man's spirit, man's desire, man's hope, to his physical well-being, understood that he didn't die from typhus, he died from a broken heart. 1860 was one of the big years that the Svarim were talking about based on a remez in the Zohar published for the Gula. And all the tzaddikim throughout the world were talking big things about Gula, 1860. It was the big year. There was one tzaddik, the Heilige Rebbe of Jikov, son of the Rav Shitzer, that he spoke out with Pambali. He said, I promise you, Mashiach is not coming. And all the tzaddikim said, Mashiach is coming. The Jikov got up and he made it known, my opinion is that Mashiach is vadai not coming in the year 1860. And later, the Jikavari actually passed away shortly thereafter. Everyone was talking about Sukkot of that year. He passed away shortly after Sukkot. And the Jikavari explained why he took such a stance against the Tzaddikim. He said, you don't think I also believe that Rem is in the Zohar HaKadosh? That Mashiach, this is his man that's right for Mashiach? He said, well, what's going to happen if that day comes and goes and Mashiach doesn't come? What's the spirit of Klal Yisrael going to look like when they feel so broken to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected them and all the Tzaddikim said that Mashiach is coming? So the Jikavari said, I'd rather be that tzaddik. Halavai Mashiach should come and I should look like a fool. They said, the Jikavari is not such a rabbi, he's not just a tzaddik, he doesn't know what he's talking about. How he had the chutzpah to take on all the other tzaddikim. But if Chas V'Shalom Mashiach doesn't come, at least Klal Yisrael could say. But not everyone said. There was one Jew who said, there was one tzaddik who said different. That feeling, that brokenness, that the Jikavari was so afraid of, the Chazal was so afraid of. And yet the prediction that Chazal offered to try to mechazik is to give us that hope. But at the end of the day, we're left feeling broke. So how do you make sense of predictions from holy tzaddikim? How do you make sense of dates that didn't come true? 1860. The Malbim said 1913. The Toldos Yaakov Yosef long ago said 1941. 1990 was a big year. 2000, I spent the year learning in Eretz Yisrael and Tavshin Samach. A little Kuntresim all over the place. Tavshin Samach is the year of Gula. I was in a Svarim store in Tavshin Samach Chesed, and I bought one of those little Svarim. Mashiach's coming, Tavshin Samach. Kadosh Baruch Hu will figure it out. That's actually the answer that the Bnei Yisrael gives in Sivan. And it's Mamar Chodesh Sivan, a minor hay, but Yisusser says, he's talking about a Muna Pshuta, how a person has to have a Muna Pshuta. You shouldn't be bothered by the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Bechira, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. And then Yisusser writes, a person has to have that same Muna when it comes to Mashiach. And he says, what about the fact that Tzaddikim promised us time and time again, Mashiach is coming, and it didn't come? Bnei Yisrael says it, it's a very deep thing, hard to understand. A person has to say, Animam b'muna shleim, that all the dates that all the Tzaddikim, Amitim, were megalot to the world, all those dates are 100% true. How does that work? If 1860 passed, if 1913 passed, if 1941 passed, 2000 passed, how are we going to work that out? Bnei Yisrael says the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will work out, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a person Bechira, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a way to work out opposites. And you have to believe that when the Tzaddik said that Mashiach was coming in that year, Mashiach came in that year. So again, we say, Tzvi Ali Melech Avdinuch, Moreinu V'Rabbeinu, thank you so much for that beautiful chizuk. Thank you so much for being a Galatos that in Pnimius HaTorah, something happened B'Pnimius in the year 1860. And in 1913, B'Pnimius Mashiach came. And in 1941, B'Pnimius Mashiach came. Well, the Maisa is Tafshin Ayin Hay, we're closing out Tisha B'Av, and Mashiach's not here. So it's very nice that in some spiritual realm, Mashiach came in those tekufos. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu eventually will work it all out. But the Maisa, that doesn't solve the problem that Iran is trying to destroy the world. It doesn't make us feel that much better, knowing that in Pnimius something happened, there was a geula of sorts that took place at that time. And it's true, you see all those dates, big things happened in the world, World War I, World War II, big events took place around the dates that the Tzaddikim predicted. The Malbim once offered a beautiful mashal. The Malbim said, in trying to make sense of all the predictions, the Malbim said, he was asked by someone, he said, you know the Gemara says you're not allowed to offer predictions. And the Malbim says, based on the Pasuk, in the Nidah, Perek Beis, Pasuk Zayin, that Mashiach's coming in the year 1913. So they said to the Malbim, it's usher to do such a thing. So Malbim gave the following mashal. He said, imagine a father and a son, they set out on a long journey. The father's a big businessman. It's the good old days, they travel for days, for weeks. He says to his young son, he says, are you ready to, you want to come along on one of the business trips? And the son says, yeah, dad, I'm not going to be bothered to you. I want to learn the business. And he comes along. He says to his son, it's a long trip. You sure you can handle it? Yeah, no problem. They're about 10 minutes into the trip. And the son turns to the wagon driver. Are we there yet? And the son says, the father says, oh, you promised me you'd behave. We're 10 minutes into the drive. I told you, oh, maybe I should turn around and take you back. About 29 days later, as they're actually getting to their destination, so all of a sudden the father turns to the wagon driver and says, sir, are we there yet? We're getting close. So the son says to his father, Patati, when I asked the exact same question, you rebuked me. You slapped me across the face. You yelled at me. And now you ask the very same words, and that's okay? I shouldn't be upset? And he says to his son, you asked the question 5 seconds into the trip. Now we're at the end of the trip. Now it's time to start talking about when are we going to get there. The Malbim said, when Chazal said it's also to be machashi of the cave, that's at the beginning of the trip. But now it's the year 1913. It's time to start talking. We're wrapping up the trip. It's time to start asking. Are we almost there? We're getting close. Again, it's a beautiful mashal from the Malbim. But he said the Malbim passed away in the late 1870s. And he said, Mashiach's coming in 1913. And now we're 100 years past that day, Tafshin Ayin Hay, and we still don't have Mashiach. The Brisker Rav said, I'm positive that after the Holocaust, within 70 years, we're going to see Mashiach. So news, so we say to the Brisker Rav, Tafshin Ayin Hay, it's 70 years since the Holocaust, and Mashiach's not here. So now what? Who are we tola on? Who do we put our hopes in? So I want to read you a mashal, a medrash rather, that I think gives us the perspective that we have to have at the end of Tisha B'Av. The truth is, I really should have shared this message with you before we started Tisha B'Av. But all the more so at the end of Tisha B'Av, when we once again face that disappointment, Mashiach's not here, and like you said, from the bells of Rebbe, Nachum Ol Tisha B'Av, what's the tachas? Nachum Ol Tisha B'Av, and now we feel, well, what was the tachas? What changed? What's different from when we started? Bilam HaRasha said in his bracha, his kala, his strange devu about Klai's, Erenu v'lo ata, shirenu v'lo karuf. You'll see it, but not now. Ashurenu, you'll perceive it below Karo, but it's not anytime soon. Darach kotam Yaakov, come shave him Yisrael. Says the Yaakov Shimoni in Parshas Bach. Amar of Yitzchak. Moshe Amar ki Karo of Yom Edom. Moshe always spoke the language of Karo. Moshe says that the end of our enemies is very near. Ah, but it looks like the enemies are getting stronger and the threats are getting louder. Says Moshe Rabbeinu ki Karo of Yom Edom. Says Moshe Rabbeinu ki Karo v'lecha davar malot. What's the language of Bilam HaRasha? Erenu v'la'at. You'll see it eventually, but not quite yet. Mashal l'melech shenasin medina l'duno b'makom rachim. Medrash gives a mashal of a father, a king, who bequeathed his son a beautiful kingdom far away from the center of the palace. And he's traveling, this young prince is traveling to his Yerusha, to his Medina, and he's being escorted by one of his beloved friends and one of his biggest enemies. And as they're traveling, as they're on this long journey, the Oyev, the enemy, says to the Ben HaMelech, look how much your father hates you. Why else would he give you a Medina? Why else would he try to give you a portion so far away from the king? He clearly doesn't like you. Says the Medrash, Iskara Daito Shel Ben. Katsura Daito Shel Ben HaMelech. The Ben HaMelech feels so broken. His beloved, his dear friend, turns to him and says, Achshav Anu Megiyin Eitz Medina. Now we're getting close. We're actually getting close to Medina. I know it's been a long journey. I know we're feeling very tired and worn out. But guess what's going to happen when we arrive? Your father has a gala event planned for us. All the pleasures, all the delights of the kingdom are going to be at your disposal. All of a sudden, the prince felt a lot better. We have a choice to make when we come to the end of Tisha B'Av. You can take the attitude of the Moshe Rabbeinu of the world, the Yeshaya and Navis of the world. We can develop a language of Karov, and despite all the disappointments and all the times that we've been let down by the Ribbono Shel Olam, and all the tfilos and all the kinos that didn't become a tikkun, like Rabbeinu said, like Rabbi Nachman said. All those times that we petitioned and we pushed and we thought for maybe, yes, could it be? And we still feel so far. You can take the Bilam HaRasha attitude, Arenu V'Ata, someone will see it, we all believe, Aninam, Hu Nashem, it'll eventually happen, but not in your lifetime. Lo Ata, not now, not this year, the same way it wasn't last year, and the same way it wasn't the year before. Or you can develop the attitude, the Moshe Rabbeinu attitude, the Yeshaya HaNavi attitude, Kikar of Yomashem, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam attitude, Kikar V'Lecha Dabar Ma'od, that even though we've been disappointed, don't see the cup as half empty. See it as a step closer, a little bit more full. Like I said, it's the art side of the Chozen. I want to tell a beautiful Maisa from the Chozen. The Chozen, when he passed away, he left his Yerusha to one of his sons, the Frat, who was in charge of Yerusha, Rav Yosef of Turchin, Rav Yosel of Turchin. And Rav Yosel was traveling back to Turchin, and he had many of the possessions of the Chozen with him. And he stopped off at an inn, and he spent the night there, and the intention was to travel on the next day. Terrible weather, a terrible storm, he got stuck there for a few days. He possibly didn't have the money to pay the innkeeper. But he had many of the possessions of the Chozen. So he says to the innkeeper, listen, I don't have cash, I can't pay you for the time I spent in the inn, but allow me to give you one of these things that I inherited from my father. I have this beautiful clock. Maybe you'd be interested in this clock that I have from my father. He showed him the clock. The cheshbon it out, pays him a few bucks. Good. And Rav Yosel of Turchin travels on his way. Years later, one of the Talmidim of the Chozeh, the Sabbat Kedisha of Radishitz, Rav Yisachar Dober of Radishitz, he was traveling to the same place. At that point, he himself was a Rebbe, traveling with the Chassidim. This was years later, and he came to that same inn. And he comes to the inn, and the innkeeper is so happy, the Sabbat Kedisha of Radishitz, the Sabbat comes to visit, give him the best room, and the Chassidim pile in, and it's late at night, they're settling down. And the innkeeper's room was right beneath the Sabbat Kedisha of Radishitz's room. And he hears, after it's getting quiet in the inn, everyone's settling down, he hears that Rabbi Yisachar Dover of Radishitz, he's pacing back and forth in his room. It's 11 o'clock, it's 11:30, it's 12 o'clock. He figures some Rebbe Zachar has to take care of the bed. It's 1 o'clock, it's 2 in the morning. The innkeeper's tossing and turning in bed, he's falling asleep, he wakes up. 3 o'clock in the morning, he wakes up, he hears, he's still pacing like a lion, like a, all around this room. He's very anxious, very nervous about something. And the innkeeper's falling asleep. He wakes up again, he falls back asleep. Finally, the morning comes, he goes upstairs, he knocks on the door, he says, Rebbe, you didn't sleep a wink last night. I heard you the whole night pacing back and forth. He says, what's going on? So the Rebbe says to him, why don't you tell me what's going on? And he says, come into the room. And he points to the clock on the wall and he says, where did you get that clock? So he says, it was here a number of years ago. Couldn't pay his bill, he left me that clock. He says, tell me, what did he look like? And he starts describing him, and he says, oh, it was Rabbi Yosel Turchin. He said, I knew that clock. That's the clock from the Chozeh of Lublin. He said, I was a Talmud by the Chozeh of Lublin. Every time I went to be by my Rebbe, I couldn't take my eyes off that clock that he had in his room. Because a clock, by definition, is a sad instrument. A clock, by definition, every time it ticks, every time it chimes, every time it rings out, a clock is signaling another minute of your life is gone. What did you do with it? Another moment never to be retrieved, never to be taken back. A clock, by definition, makes people depressed. He says, when I was down by Rebbe the Chozeh, it was a totally different thing. He said, by the Chozeh, every time the clock ticked, every time it chimed, every time it would ring out, I would hear a sound of joy. Because by the Chozeh, every minute was a minute closer to the Gula Shleima. He said, if you were in such a room, if you spent the night in such a room with such a clock, do you think you could sleep? He said, do you think I could fall asleep at night when there's a clock telling me every second you're a second closer to Geulah, you're a second closer to Mashiach? And again, I think that's the choice we make in the final minutes of Tisha B'Av. You come out of Tisha B'Av and you can take the Moshe Rabbeinu attitude of Kikarov Yom Edom, Kikarov Alech Hadar Mo'od. You can take the message of the Chozeh Lublin's clock that you're a second closer, you're a year closer, a Tisha B'Av closer to the Geulah Shleima. Or you can become cynical, you can become bitter. And you can say, what about all the promises that Tzaddikim made throughout all the generations? What about all the times that I thought that maybe this would be the year? How many Chafetz Chaim Heritage videos that I have to make before one of them tells the truth? Before finally we actually see the Geulah? How many drushos, how many speeches, how many times we have to get ourselves excited and hopeful and be counting down the moments to Mashiach only to be disappointed again? But if we take the message in the art set of the Chozeh Lublin, the Chozeh Lublin's clock, and to realize we're a second closer to Mashiach, we're a year closer to Mashiach, we're Tisha B'Av closer to Mashiach. Rav Schwab spent the famous Shabbos by the Chafetz Chaim, 1930, Parshas Vayakel Pekudei. One of the topics of conversation at lunch, by the Halakha of Chafetz Chaim said, is recorded in the Mayan Beis Shueva Parshas B'Shalach, he asked the young men who were gathered there, Rav Schwab is amongst them, Shimon Schwab, he asked, what would the mun taste like if you didn't have any korban? We know that the mun would taste like whatever you want, whatever you could imagine. What would be the taste of the mun if a person didn't have a specific korban? If you didn't have a mind for your favorite food. So I would have said, the pashtus is like the Torah says. It's a pichas midvash, some type of honey wafer, maybe a deep fried donut of some sort, cracker, tamta, egg kichel, whatever the Torah is describing, whatever the default setting of the mun is, that's what I would have thought. And Rav Schwab said he was too afraid to answer. And he said the Chofetz Chaim told him the following. Ani yagid lachem, az mitrach nish het es kentam nish. The Chofetz Chaim said, if you don't have any kavana, it tastes like nothing. If you don't have kavana when you eat the mun, it tastes like nothing. Shedavar ruchni mekavol tam lefi erech hamachshav. Because the davar ruchni takes on the taste of the intention of the person who's involved with it. And the Chofetz Chaim went a step further. V'chein yeh b'bias ha-mashiach. Im yitin daitu l'yos es galas machas Hashem. If a Jew, despite all the disappointment, could be excited and be hopeful and be looking forward to that day of the Geulah Shleima, then he's going to be yargish tam masuk she'ein kamal. But if chas v'shalom, a person becomes despondent and depressed, and you allow that tick of the clock, another year gone by, to cause us to fall into deep depression, to give up hope, like that friend of Viktor Frankl, aval lo yitein daito azeh, if you don't put your mind to it, if you're not thinking about Mashiach, az tavoa geulah v'hulo yargish klum, geulah can come and it can taste like nothing to you. But you know what's even worse than what the Chafetz Chaim said? What's even worse if chas v'shalom you come to greet Mashiach with bitter taste in your mouth? That you're angry at HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're angry at the Melech Mashiach for not coming early. Then not only will Mashiach not taste sweet to you, not only will Mashiach not have a neutral taste to you, lo yarbish klum, but chas v'shalom Mashiach would have a bitter taste to a person. Is that how you want to greet Mashiach? So despite all the disappointment, despite all the frustration, Klal Yisrael has to come out of Tisha B'Av and at least say, we're 1 year closer to Mashiach. And I think that's really the pshat in Shabbos Nachum. I was thinking last year, what's the pshat in Shabbos Nachum? Tisha B'Av comes, and Tisha B'Av goes, and nothing changed, and everything's exactly the same, and there's no Nachama. If anything, we should feel worse, like Hashem Baruch Hu has rejected us again. And then all of a sudden, everyone goes to the country for some concerts, and a little relaxation. What's the Nachama? But I think if we have the attitude of the Chozeh Lublin, we understand very well what the Nachama is. The Nachama is okay, so this was the last Tisha B'Av ever. So this wasn't Mashiach. It wasn't exactly what we expected. But it was a good Tisha B'Av. Because we spent the day thinking about Mashiach. We're a step closer to Mashiach. Rav Moshe Mordechai of Lalla once met. He met up with the Chalkis Yoshua, the Bialy Rebbe by the Kotel. And they met up. It was Motzei Tisha B'Av. And the Lalla said to the Bialy Rebbe, he said, Nu, how's your Tisha B'Av? How's your fast? He said, Baruch Hashem, the fast went well. He said, you, Lalla Rebbe, how is it by you? And the Lalla Rebbe said, it was a great fast. It was a wonderful Tisha B'Av by you. It was such a good fast. He said, I spent every moment of the entire day hoping that Mashiach is going to come. That's what it means to have a good Tisha B'Av. And even if after Tisha B'Av is over, and we don't yet have the Geulah Shleima, we don't get the answer that we're looking for, but at least we can say, Ribono Shel Shabbos Nachum, one less Tisha B'Av to experience, hopefully the last Tisha B'Av ever. I'll give everyone a push of the Eitzah that I took upon myself a couple years ago. I open up my kinos. Nowadays we have fancy kinos. Weinberg always says, you know, the good old days with the little pamphlets, you bury them after Tisha B'Av. Because you really believe it's not coming. Nowadays we have fancy kinos. Open up your kinos to the inside cover. And write, write on the inside cover of your kinos, used for the last time in Tavshin Ayin. Now I have that used for the last time in Tavshin Ayin Beis, Tavshin Ayin Gimel, Tavshin Ayin Dalet. And I'll continue to fill the inside cover of my kinos if I have to, Chas V'Shalom. But that's a way of saying, Aninam Amun HaShleimah, that even if Tisha B'Av came and went, but I'm taking on the Moshe Rabbeinu, the Yeshaya Nabi, the Kodesh Baruch Hu attitude of Kikar, but 1 second closer. The Chozev Lubin's clock has brought us 1 second closer. And like the Rebbe Reb Zusha used to always say, when he's mechazing himself this time of year, as Elul is getting close, that it's time to do tshuva. And Reb Zusha would say to himself, as he always did, Ah, but Reb Zusha, you promised yesterday that you were going to change, and you didn't change today. And then Reb Zusha would say, but today I'm really going to. Today Reb Zusha is really going to do tshuva. So for all the times we've been promised, by all the tzaddikim, and by all the Tisha B'Av and all the inspiration, and all the times we thought, okay, maybe this year we've been let down time and time again. Like the Rebbe of Zusha, this year, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this year we really mean it. We're going to do it for real. And I'm going to write it in the inside cover of my keynotes. This is the last Tisha B'Av. So Mirtz Hashem, Chai Yisrael have a good minhag this year. We ate meat, we drank wine on Tisha B'Av. That should be the minhag of Chai Yisrael, Dori Doros. That should be the way that it always is from this point forward. And Amir Tashem, the Chai Yisrael can believe, not become frustrated, not become embittered, but to believe that there's something so sweet, that's so close, that the Chozev Lublin told us, and Amir Tashem will actually be zochet to see the Gula Shleima of the car. Amen.
What's that? Shira Malo is your neighbor of Kalashi. My father, my father,